If you're a driven, active person who wants to reach and pursue a higher quality life with some ambition, then guess what? This podcast is for you. This is the Driven Athlete Podcast. What's up, y'all? It's your man, Dr. Kyle. We got a really interesting topic that I wanted to bring up today, and something that I feel like I reflect on all the time just for myself. And this concept was introduced to me by a couple of the professionals, and I was really deep diving and reflecting. And I was like, man, if I could break this down for a lot of the driven athletic individuals that we work with and the listeners, I think this could be really valuable. So it's about the emotional cycle of change. As in, what the reason why people do things, why they might not stick to goals as consistently as they want to, and then maybe why they'll deviate from that, and what does that look like, right? Why, and what are those cycles? So if we can reflect on it and deep dive into a better understanding, then maybe we can have a better way of reflecting on ourselves and how we deal with stuff, or how we can pursue goals maybe more consistently and more legitimately, right? Because the ultimate goal is to be consistent over a long period of time and reach the goals we want, right? If it's weight loss, nutritional habits, body physique and body fat percentage composition, and strength goals, performance goals, entrepreneurial business goals, stuff like that. And I think this is super applicable. So the emotional cycle of change, if you guys aren't familiar with, I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence. I just want to make sure we're on the same page and know exactly what we're talking about. But it looks like a curve, all right? Like a graph curve. And the first step is uninformed optimism, which is, hey, I want to like lose weight. I want to get a strength goal. I want to make varsity, or I want to run a 5K or do a 10K. Like, I see that person doing it and they said they were able to do it. I could do that. Cool. Uninformed optimism. I can make this happen. Sounds great. I want to do this. So uninformed optimism that you can do it. Cool. Which is great. But that ultimately sometimes leads to informed pessimism. That's stage two. All right. So stage one is uninformed optimism. Step two is informed pessimism. Later you find out, oh crap, this is like way harder than I thought. Like there's a lot of things entailed in that are necessary to be able to run a 10K, right? I didn't realize everything else was all these other things necessary. And then you go to your friend or whoever is like, dude, this is like way harder. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't tell you about the other 1,000 things or all the time spent needed to get to this goal. It's like, well, this is way more challenging than I thought. Like, crap, right? Informed pessimism. The next step after that, if things aren't pursued in the best way possible without the right outlook, people descend into the valley of despair. The valley of despair is like the rock bottom where it's like, I can't do this. This is way harder than I thought. Like, I'm not making any progress. This sucks. This is super hard. And I just can't do it. And that's a turning point for a lot of people. All right. If you can just push through the valley of despair long enough to get the goal, like some kind of reinforcement of improvements that you're making, right? Or coaching and accountability, or have something written down, some kind of way and motivation to push through the valley of despair, you then ascend into informed optimism, which is like, I can do this. Yeah, I got this. I could do this, right? You reach some goals and some milestones, you get reinforcement of like, I'm getting some positive results here. Cool. It's going to motivate me more. Awesome. If you can get to that point, it's a crucial step. The next step usually after that is sustained success and fulfillment. All right. And that's when it's usually a little bit more passive and easier to maintain the success that you've already seen. The difficulty has the main difficult parts to push through, trudge through the mud has been passed. All right. And that's the valley of despair, like I said. And that's when it's easier, right? Sustained success, people usually stick to things that they're good at and they like. Right? People usually avoid and don't do things that they don't like and they're not good at, just naturally not good at doing pull-ups. I hate pull-ups. Someone says that, I hear that all the time, right? I don't like push-ups, not good at them. It's like, well, why? It's just not a strong suit for them, right? It's just naturally not a strong suit for that person. And they just naturally, of course, nobody wants to gravitate towards things that they don't like, right? People stick to things and they do things and they're reinforced to do things that they enjoy and they're good at naturally, right? But I have a question, right? Is it unreasonable to think that somebody would be good at something the first time they do it? Of course not, right? Piano player, like, were you awesome the first time you played? No, you sucked, right? Which is normal. Soccer players, were you great at juggling a soccer ball and foot-eye coordination right at the beginning? No, you sucked, right? This is normal. The first time you do anything and you're introducing something new, you're going to be not great at it, right? That's normal. So I think going into something that you're trying and some goals or whatever you're trying to pursue, layer in new skills and skill stacking to improve your performance in life and just self-development, right? Go into it, the mental expectation and clarity that I'm probably not going to be good at this at first, but that's okay. I'm okay with sucking. That comes from humility and not really being super worried about what other people think, right? It's like, oh, everyone's going to see me suck at this. Like, that's not good. Usual drivers from what I've heard to prevent somebody from doing that and take steps forward is ego. Or just fragile ego, right? Or just insecurity where it's like, I don't want to be seen sucking at this. What are my friends going to think? Usually a lot of these things, the barriers to entry and the barriers to starting goals or pursuits, self-development, starting a business, starting a fitness, a nutrition journey, whatever, it usually always boils down to the person's fear of rejection and fear of failure. People are usually okay with failure, but they don't want to be seen failing. And that's usually the social rejection, right? We're like, look, that guy failed, right? That girl failed. What a loser, right? It usually always boils down to that. If you backtrack all the way back to like, I didn't really start. Why? Because I'm not good at it. But like, why would that be a barrier, right? I don't want to fail. But why? Like, is that a failed in private? Like, when nobody knew that you failed, would that be a huge issue? Yeah, right? Because people are, it's uncomfortable to see yourself fail, and then sense of being scared, doing things you're not used to. It's usually the fear of the emotions that come with being scared or feel failure. But then even backtrack further beyond that, it's usually fear of rejection. A lot of things can be boiled down to fear of rejection. Like, being in shape and fit and going to the gym and being seen by other people in the gym or doing a fitness journey and like proclaiming it in front of a bunch of people. I'm going to start this fitness journey. I'm going to start this nutrition journey and totally shift my life in a way different direction for health and longevity. There's a fear of failure involved with that and a fear of rejection by your community, people and your friends and family and stuff. If you backtrack even further beyond that, it usually comes down to one or two people that you're afraid of them seeing you fail and the rejection and fear of failure. It's usually, and it oftentimes, the bummer with this, friends, really close friends and family, those seem to be the really most common sources of barriers to people pursuing something. Like, I don't want them to see me fail because you hold them in high regard or you just don't want their opinions of you to be lessened. And your status in the community be lessened. But anyway, so that's the emotional cycle of change. Number one, uninformed optimism. Hey, I'm like, I can do this. Cool. Then you find out it's harder than you think. Informed pessimism. Like, shoot, man, this is a lot harder than I thought. There's a lot more things entailed. Then you descend in the valley of despair. And the valley of despair is a turning point. Most often, when people reach the valley of despair, if they don't have a strong, deep why motivator of why they're doing things in the first place, things written down and accountability like coaching or friends and family and stuff, usually the valley of despair, they stop and they quit whatever they're doing, a goal. And then they look around and they say, oh, that looks easy though. I'll just do that instead, right? Cool, this fad diet looks even easier. I'm gonna do that instead. So they retract and go back to stage one of uninformed optimism again. And then they descend into informed pessimism. It's like, shoot, this is way harder than I thought too. You talk to your buddy or whoever's doing that and you're like, oh yeah, dude, what I didn't tell you about the other 15 things involved with reaching whatever you need to do, right? This is like a lot harder, crap, right? And then they descend into the valley of despair again. When they get the valley of despair, they're like, I can't do this. It's rock bottom, this is hard, I can't do it. And they look around and they say, oh, but that looks easy. And they go back into uninformed optimism and start all over again. Unfortunately, I've seen this with a lot of people. If it's like nutrition journeys, fitness journeys, just self-development goals and stuff, and entrepreneurship, of course, too, is a big one. They descend into the valley of despair and they start over again in uninformed optimism. This is harder than I thought. Informed pessimism. Valley of despair. That looks easy. Let me do that. Uninformed optimism. Informed pessimism. Valley of despair. And they just continue cycles 1 through 3 over and over, and they live their life like that all the time. Right? Which is a bummer because they never go anywhere and they never really reach the goals they're looking for and push through the valley of despair. Usually if you just push long enough And with consistency, this doesn't have to be a lot, you'll eventually push through the valley of despair and then ascend and reach informed optimism. And then after that, it's much easier because you've gotten some traction and momentum. You're reinforced by your behaviors and the results are showing themselves a little bit. And it's easier to progress up into the success and fulfillment stage, sustained success. And the interesting thing about sustained success as it relates to like fitness and nutrition, that's the main thing that people usually have questions about, right? Our patients, the patients and clients that we work with, is usually revolve around that. Like, I want to be out of pain. I want to work out better. I want to have a better lifestyle, be in better shape, feel good, be strong, be healthy. Cool. So that's usually that's why I'm referring that to a lot. But once you get to informed optimism and you're above the valley of despair and you get into sustained success and fulfillment, your body and your goals and your habits almost become like passive income. Once you reach passive income and entrepreneurship, right? It's like you really don't have to work super hard to maintain the income that you're getting. Once your body and physique and your metabolism and your physiology reaches a certain point, it's almost like passive. You don't have to do as much to maintain where you're at. And then the reinforced success and improvements that you've noticed also just fuel improved consistency. So add that improved consistency. You've also learned, that's the most important thing, is you've learned. You learned and reinstilled new lifestyle habits to allow that kind of discipline. And then you're seeing the results. It reinforces that behavior in a positive feedback loop. Cool. And then your body, your physique, your metabolism, and your physiology is better set up for success to sustain what goal you want. So it becomes like passive. It's a lot easier to even maintain there. So the sustained success and fulfillment is even easier to maintain after that too. So it's just like, man, if you can just push through the valley of despair just long enough, you'll get there. It just takes time. So let's talk about that. All right. The valley of despair, uninformed optimism, is usually coming from quick change motivation, where it's like, I want to do that, quickly change, boom. But if there's not a lot of forethought and prep, and the right mental approach and mental expectations. The expectations is a huge key. Like, what do you expect? Do you expect this to be easy? Do you expect this to like have results within a week? Or did you expect like, yo, this is gonna be a 6-month journey. This is gonna be 6 months. So at month two, when you're not there yet, and you're like, what the heck? I can't run a 10K yet. Or like, what the heck? My body fat percentage isn't down below 15%, right? Which is challenging. If you're not there yet in 2 months, you'd be like, well, but I knew this is going into this. I knew it was going to be a minimum 3 to 4 month process, right? To see the results that I'm looking for, to reinforce the behaviors that I'm actually doing good. I knew that going in. Cool. It makes it way easier. So the mental approach and the mental expectations going into a journey like this, whatever self-development goal it is, instant gratification, the instant gratification sense, but rather delayed gratification, right? The delayed gratification with humility, and the mental expectation and effort, know it's going to take longer than you think. All that stuff combined usually results in a better trajectory and better improvements that you're looking for. So with that being said, we know that consistency is the main key. All right, sticking to something long enough to just see the results. And usually any program is going to work. You just got to do it long enough. So the choice of like what program do you do, the main motivation we usually try to instill is like, what do you like more? What kind of thing do you like, right? Whatever people are going to stick to things that it is naturally like anyway. So going into something, have some forethought and some perspective reframe on like, what things do I enjoy to begin with? And then naturally gravitate towards that. It's going to be easier in general, okay? So with that being said, we need to have a perspective reframe, all right? Different mindset. This is a different way to say mindset. And the shift that we would recommend, right, for the results people are looking for self-development, right, is the habitual actions that will actually move the needle forward towards the goal the person's looking for. The habits, the lifestyle habits, the goal is to change those. So that's the win. The win isn't the goal. The win is who you become when you arrive, right? Just like an entrepreneurship, they always say like, it's not about making $1 million. It's who you become when you reach that kind of level of income or that level of business sustainability. So the lifestyle change habits that's being instilled, that's the win. So with that being the scorecard, right? Not the actual goal, but the scorecard is, did I contribute with instilling these new lifestyle habit changes that I know are going to work, These have been proven in science. If I do this, this, and this every week, I know I'll get results. And I avoid these things too. That's the habit change we're looking for. If I know that those things are going to move the needle forward, if I do that long enough, I know I'll get to the goal. That's the win. So at each week, it's like, I have this checklist. Did I not eat a crap load of potato chips and what and all the things that I know are not going to be great for me for my goal of like losing body fat percentage and gaining strength? Did I work out 3 times a week? Did I have a natural movement day for a fourth activity day? Did I watch less TV? And did I look at my phone less? That's it, right? If you can check off those boxes, then you know that you're able to you know that's going to lead to a result that you're looking for, right? Okay, cool. So that's the win. Check off those boxes rather than looking in the mirror and be like, oh, I look the same. That's not the scorecard. We know going in, that's not the scorecard. The scorecard is, did I check off these habitual changes, activities, these habitual activities that I know are going to move the needle forward? Check those boxes. You win. That's it. Success. High five. Week one, done. Week two, do the same thing. Did you check those boxes? Yes. You're on track. Perfect. Don't look in the mirror. And don't look at the scale yet because you're going to be disappointed. It decreases encouragement, right? It's discouraging. So that's the win. So the hard part is when you get to informed pessimism in the valley of despair and that emotional cycle of change, are you able to continue to push forward? And usually that comes from the right metrics or the right perspective reframe of like the mindset of what's the actual win and then what's your why? You have to find a really deep-rooted why. What's your underlying motivation for even doing this in the first place, right? And usually for people, the ones that really stick, it's like, I want to be a good role model for my kids. I want to have sustained longevity for my life. When I'm 80, I don't want to be decrepit and not be able to get off of the toilet by myself, right? I want to be independent, right? And those habit lifestyles start now. And if you can, the more that you can instill those lifestyle habits, the stronger and more reinforced they'll be later and later. And you know that that's going to lead to the results you're looking for, right? And the goals that you're looking for. The key is being able to do that in the valley of despair and informed pessimism stages without any kind of reward. No reinforcement, no reward is being given. You're not noticing any changes yet. If you can still push through that because of your underlying why and motivation that you can read every day, that's what's going to help push people through the valley of despair. It's like, why am I even doing this in the first place? I feel very uncomfortable. I'm hungry and I'm irritable. My relationship has been challenged with my wife and kids, my friends and family, like whatever, right? Because I'm going through these lifestyle changes and my body is reacting, right? Like I'm hungry. I just want to eat a bunch of Taco Bell, right? That's always been one of my vices, man. Taco Bell. I'm a Taco Bell guy. Cheesy to get the gordita crunch. That was my thing. So no reward yet noticed. No reinforcement of positive reinforcement noticed yet. No improvements noticed yet. Can you still keep going? That's the question. That's the hardest part for anybody. Can you get through that? The two things that usually help the best is an underlying why that you can root back to and read as like your goal of like, why am I doing this in the first place? Oh yeah, now I'm super fired up, right? And then accountability. It usually comes from coaching or friends, people that are in your accountability groups, whatever you do, that you can lean on. Because you know they're going to ask you on Friday night, hey, did you have Taco Bell this week? Oh, I did. Right? You know they're going to ask you. It's going to be really helpful for you to stay on track, all right? Especially through the valley of despair when it's hard and sucks. But as soon as you push through that and you get to the informed optimism, like, I can do this. I am noticing, yeah, people commented on me that I look different. That's going to be super helpful, right? For reinforcing the things you want to do. So with all that being said, would it be unreasonable to think that if you did these proven actions consistently week by week, that you wouldn't move in the right direction towards your goal? Of course, it's reasonable to think that. Yeah, it is. So that's the win. Focus on the habits that you know are going to lead to the changes you're looking for. And this is proven in science. It's not just smoke, right? So getting the right coach and accountability to be like, that is reasonable. And yes, these are the actions that will lead to that change you're looking for. And yes, this is what's going to be super helpful. Yes, I'm going to check in on you. Yeah, I'm going to ask you later, like, did you work out 3 times? No, but I did twice. Okay, hey, that's pretty good, right? You got 80% of the week there, right? You ate pretty good. you worked out twice, you had a more casual movement day, you've been watching less TV, you didn't work out four times a week, but this is a challenging time. And besides that, you did good, right? Hey, high five, we're on the right track, right? Next week, let's push for three, see how it goes, all right? And then the next week, same thing. And if you continue that same process, I know I'm very confident you're gonna get to the goal you're looking for. So you can identify these specific habits and actions and write them down. Okay, it's usually helpful. I think there's research to show super high increases in percentages of reaching the goal people are looking for. If you actually write them down, you have a motivating why behind why you're doing it in the first place to start with, and then an accountability coach. Those three things, your likelihood of success is super high, supercharged. So that's what I encourage people to do. So with that being said, the interesting thing with this is we hear patients that are in pain, right? We're a sports physical therapy facility. We work with patients to get them out of pain, right? They come in and they're like, my shoulder hurts or my back hurts, my neck hurts, and I have this pain down my arm or whatever. It'll never get better. It's been going on for 6 months. I'm on my last hope here. We go through the same kind of thoughts and processes with them. Be like, would it be unreasonable to think? We know it can be fixed, right? We ruled out red flags. We know it can be fixed. This is stuff we see with people very common. So this is not like a super anomaly, uncommon thing that you're going through. So we know it can be fixed. And here are the things that we found and these checklists of stuff that we intervene with this stuff. We're very, very confident it'll get improved, right? As long as you don't F it up in the meantime. And that's part of the process, right? That we educate and coach and have accountability with them too. At the very beginning, we definitely want to see results quickly. Not everybody gets results quickly, but if we know and confident that these things will get you better, according to the research and empirical evidence, right, that we're relaying this information, if you stick to that consistently enough, then we know that you'll get improvements, right? There are good days and bad days, of course, for any goal on personal development and then also with pain relief and rehab, all right? There's good days and bad days. Going with the expectation going into it that there potentially could be some bad days along the way. When the bad day comes and they're like, all's lost, I'm done, all right? Not working. It's like, dude, it's one day. Yesterday, you said you felt like way better. The day before that, you had improvements too. And today is a setback, all right? But we knew it was going to happen, right? It just ebbs and flows a little bit. We just want the roller coaster to be a lot less dramatic. And then over a long enough period of time, you see an improvement in a positive trend, right? So like 8 weeks from now, right, we would expect you to have a lot less bad days and the severity of those bad days a lot less too. Imagine continuing the same trajectory for 3 months, layer in some fitness and resiliency training, right? So resilience is really what it is. Would it be unreasonable to think that you would have a lot of improvements by that point? Of course, right? Cool. And confidently we can project that and say we've done this before. So I think you're in the same boat, right? That's going to be helpful. So avoiding the temptation of bailing when instant gratification is pulling at your leg and you're not seeing super great improvements immediately, pushing through those stages with accountability, that's gonna be the best thing for pain and then also for rehabbing and getting back to your functional lifestyle that you want and then also for self-development goals too. And that's just something to keep in mind and consider. And consistency is definitely the main thing. Thinking of like flash paper that burns real quick, super high intense, and then it fizzles out. Versus like imagine, you know, an incense stick that burns. That incense stick burns like very, very slow over a long period of time. It's not super intense, super flashy right away, but it's going to outlast that super intense flash paper that burned real quick. That's kind of like what we instill our goals to be and expectations of like, how am I going to get better? Consistency over a long period of time and a little bit every day. Very similar to this with like goals. Let's imagine someone was building a skill in like piano. If you practice 10 minutes a day over a year, you're going to be better than like 95% of all piano players in the world, right? Because people will quit and be like, this is hard, right? This is more challenging than I thought. Versus like practicing for 2 hours once a week. Practice 10 minutes every day over the period of 12 months, right? Would it be unreasonable to think that you'd be pretty good by that point? Actually, yeah, and the research shows that. It was interesting, right? So keep that in mind. Same kind of reframe for self-development and other nutritional fitness goals and pain relief and rehabbing pain. A little bit every day goes a long way. And the main win is that it instills the habits that you need that are can make that maintain and consistent for years and years and years to come, right? If you're all familiar with Jocko Willink, I'm a huge fan. He wrote Extreme Ownership and then also Discipline is Freedom. And that's kind of the same thought. Discipline is freedom. You build a discipline with lifestyle habits that are instilled every day a little bit at a time. And over a long period of time, that's when you see huge results and goals. And then you end up being one of those people that's a little bit more passive income of your body and your goals. It's less intense and maintenance required to maintain where you're at the productivity and performance that you want to be at. And that's just something to consider. So anyway, that's all the stuff that that the emotional cycle of change, that's the breakdown of it. And it's very interesting. And I think if getting through the valley of despair and maybe recognizing that you're in there, and then even saying to yourself, this is it. This is hard. This is what hard looks like. I could do this. This is hard. Okay. Yeah. It's not being afraid of doing things that are hard. It obviously helps if you have accountability and stuff, but a little bit of reflection and mindfulness of where you are maybe in that stage and knowing, okay, this is part of the valley. I'm pretty close to the valley of despair. This sucks. This is hard. I can do this. Just push a little bit more. And I know I'll get through if I continually stay in the right things, right? So that can be really helpful for pursuing goals. So I hope you all found this valuable. Definitely reach out if you have any questions. Search this stuff and you'll get more information about the emotional cycle of change. And I think it's really interesting. And this is the stuff we nerd out on as part of like our profession and stuff too. But anyway, we're always open to having questions and comments, concerns, topic suggestions, any conflicting points of view and perspectives. So definitely always reach out. The best way to reach us is either phone, 561-899-8725. Or our email, which is team@athleterc.com. So we look forward to hearing you guys, and we'll catch y'all next time.